It's time for Mind Your Business on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network to present the weekly business radio show produced by the award-winning marketing firm Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, sharing business and marketing strategies to make you and your business successful. Now, here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you for joining me here in another edition of Mind Your Business with the Saflis right here on 710 WOR and throughout America on the powerful iHeartRadio network. Yes, I want to give a big thank you to our great listeners, the listenership. We are back in the top 10 in New York AM radio. The Nielsen Ratings, which of course is the global measurement and data analytics company, they have us in the top 10 in New York AM radio once again, and that is a testament to really the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group who work very hard to get amazing guests. I don't want to keep the great listeners in suspense. I'm just going to mention who my amazing guest is, and then I'm going to continue with the intro. Tonight we have none other than a very, very special guest, the CEO of Dale Carnegie International, Dale Carnegie Training, Joe Hart, Mr. Joe Hart. But just a little, permit me to finish my intro here. The weekly Mind Your Business show features interviews with Fortune 500 executives and business leaders and marketing gurus such as Stephen Sadov, the former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue, Beth Comstock, former vice chair and CMO at GE, John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, and so many other amazing guests. And we cover such a wide range of professions and business categories. And that's why we're back in the top 10 in New York AM radio. Special shout out to the great team here at BLMG, in particular Cerulli, Michal Brocha, Miriam Avigail Elio. Thank you. To the programming team at 710 WOR, got to be a mensch, got to say thank you, Darren and Robert. Zeb Brenner, the veteran radio personality who precedes me here on 710 WOR. And a special thank you to all those that stop me anywhere and to the various channels that we are syndicated on. In particular, I want to give a shout out, and I mentioned on our YouTube channel, if you subscribe, you are automatically notified when a show goes live. Tonight's show is being videoed, and therefore, when it goes live, you will automatically be notified if you subscribe. The way easy way to do it, on YouTube, 710 WOR Mind Your Business. Again, on YouTube, 710 WOR Mind Your Business. Subscribe, and you'll automatically be notified when the video episode of a show goes live. Without further ado, Joe Hart, President and CEO of Dale Carnegie. Dale Carnegie Training ignites workplace enthusiasm to produce measurable business results by improving the performance of employees. Mr. Hart oversees, listen to this, he oversees Dale Carnegie operations in over 90 countries worldwide, and among his clients are 400 of the Fortune 500 companies. So I think one of the questions will be, how does he sleep at night? We'll get there. We'll get there. But somehow he does. Always has a big smile on his face. I was honored to interview Joe already twice in the past, and each time was so rewarding. He shared so much information. We had to get him back. Mr. Hart, thank you for joining me here once again on Mind Your Business.
Yes, Zach, thank you so much for having me. It's great to see you again and great to be with you.
Yes, same here. We have a lot to cover, and among the topics we're going to be talking about, you know, thank God we seem to be at the point that we're post-pandemic, you know, please God. So we want to discuss business strategies to get a company back on its feet and transitioning back into the physical workplace. I mean, those are big questions. So first, let's just talk about the last year. It's a real challenge. Unfortunately, you know, suffering, whether it's physically or from the business sense, perhaps, you know, and we haven't gotten together. Perhaps you could share what were some of the challenges that you faced in your role in 2020?
Sure. Well, Yitzhak, it was really pretty incredible because I feel like I had a front row seat for the unfolding of COVID, because we do have operations, 200 operations around in countries all over the world, as you mentioned. And in January of 2020, when a lot of people really weren't all that familiar with COVID, we were on conference calls and Zoom meetings with our Chinese teams who were talking about what was happening there. And it was frankly terrifying just to hear that. I mean, to hear the possibility that our operations would be shutting down for weeks or months. And keep in mind, in January of 2020, about 98% of our Dale Carnegie training business was in person, face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball. We did have a North American live online virtual instructor-led training program, but that was pretty much North America only. And so when first our Chinese operations started to shut down, and then it was, you know, Vietnam and in Japan and then Europe and Italy and so forth. I mean, it was a wave. And I'll tell you, even though Dale Carnegie people are resilient people, we teach resilience, right. We teach positive mindset. It was a scary time for us. It was a scary time for me. It was a gut check time, I think, for all of us, just because, frankly, the what we had experienced was existential. When your entire business is shutting down around the world at the same time, most people aren't prepared for something like that. Certainly, we had done a lot of planning for economic downturns, but no one had anticipated the extent of COVID-19. What I'm grateful for is that we had a phenomenal team of people around the world, both the people that are on my executive team as well as our teams in the field. They really are the heroes in my mind for our business. We pivoted very quickly. Within a period of 4 months, we took the live online operation that we had in North America. We certified about 1,000 trainers around the world to deliver live online so you could attend a Dale Carnegie program from your home. And more than that, we took 70 courses that we had developed for that format, got that translated into 32 languages. All of this happened really so quickly. And it was then our teams in the field that went about supporting their customers and so forth. So within that period of time, from January to say, May, June, mm-hmm. we really completely flipped the business. So that even today, as we are June 1st, we're recording, a high percentage of our business remains live online in addition to the in-person. So today, part of what's exciting to me is catastrophic as this situation has been and as grievous as it's been to humankind, I try to look at some of the positives. Our business is a different business today. It's accelerated our digital transformation. We can serve companies and individuals in ways that we simply could not have in January 2020, which enables us then to help deliver on our mission. And our mission really is about unlocking greatness that people have in individuals and companies and creating high-performing teams and helping people have breakthroughs. And frankly, the world needs Dale Carnegie today more than it ever has. It's been a world that has hurt individually and collectively. We've certainly gone through a tremendous amount of pain. So I'm grateful that as difficult as this past year plus has been, that there have been some good things about it, and that as a business, we're really positioned to support our customers more effectively.
You know, the one challenge about doing this show is I have only 1 hour with you. I mean, as you're talking, ideas are flying through my head. I'm like, I got to ask Joe this and that. Well, we'll see what we can get to, but we certainly will get to all the top questions. One of the points that you raised is the challenge that happened. I would love to touch on this. So many people, most of the workforce, went and worked in a quarantine type of setting. Naturally, that must affect people's human interactions, which is why you touched on it. I mean, people would need a Dale Carnegie training course. And by the way, full disclosure, I took the immersion course. I took it a couple of years ago, and I've recommended it to at least 200-300 friends by now, because it was so rewarding. Every single aspect of it, the challenges and the interaction. So coming back to my question, for people that perhaps human skills were hit. If someone's working out of their, in their pajamas for a year, I mean, it's hard to imagine that they could just suddenly show up in the workforce and be the same individual that knows how to communicate so perfectly when they've done that for 30, 40 years prior.
That's incredibly true. And even for people who may have been more outgoing, I mean, the pandemic hasn't affected everyone in the same way. I mean, certainly there are people who are introverted or people who are extroverted. And Zoom has been hard, clearly. And Zoom has been a whole other range of mental health challenges that have come about as a result of this isolation that we've all been feeling. And there's a whole new range of challenges that will happen as we start to emerge from this. We see this right now. Even people who are fully vaccinated, many still aren't comfortable. People still want to wear masks. And that's a natural expectation, I think, in some ways, of the fear that we've all had as a world over this past year. So part of what we will need to do as societies is to relearn interaction and to be more comfortable. It's not going to be a quick flip of the switch. All of a sudden, people are going to be shaking hands. It's going to be awkward, and there's still going to be fear. So, you know, one of the things my father always said to me growing up, Yitzhak, and by the way, congratulations on you for your Dale Carnegie course program, winning one of our pens, which is a really big deal. I see you've got your pen in the Dale Carnegie world. You know, my dad always said that life's about personal growth. And the reality is that life always involves change, and we always have to be growing individually, looking to get better and to improve. And so as we go into this next, you know, period of time, I think that's especially true. We're going to have to relearn skills of relationship and human interaction, and how do we engage people effectively? How do we deal with our stress and our worry and some of the natural fears that people are going to have emerging from this time that we've been through? So certainly that's one of the things that is Dale Carnegie. We feel passionately about helping people do. It's what we've been doing for 109 years this year. Amazing. So, you know, we really are looking forward to helping people do that and companies do that.
Another point that you raised before, and this is really a fascinating and yet actually a pretty scary thought, is that you saw this coming and it affected operations throughout the world. So China, the Far East, and then as it traveled through Europe, Italy, etc. And you saw it coming. In fact, maybe you could share some additional lessons that companies that are not necessarily global, even a small operator on somewhere on Fifth Avenue, has to keep their eyes open, see what's happening. I mean, I could imagine you could have just, you know, stuck your head in the sand and say, all right, it's going to pass, everything will be okay. But no, you say, listen, I see warning signs. I see a storm approaching. Let's batten down the hatches and deal with it. Perhaps you could share some takeaways to preparation.
So it's a very insightful question, and it's a question that we struggled with because at the time, no one knew what was going to happen. No one knew how long the pandemic was going to be. No one knew if our classrooms were going to be closed for a month or for a year. No one knew. And certainly, even within our own organizations, if we look at our teams throughout the world, and even if we look just at North America, many thought, well, you know what, we should be back to normal by June. That was the mindset. This is March, and how long is it going to be? We had a little bit of the leadership team and I had a different mindset around that because we could see what was happening in Asia, and we could see the length of time and the impact, and we were dealing with something that people could be asymptomatic and carrying this, and all of this, and there could be an incubation period of a week or two. So we anticipated there'd be a challenge, but many of our teams resisted the call to go digital. Mm-hmm. Dale Carnegie, for 107 plus years at that time, had been an in-person business. We have breakthroughs, and people are in the classroom, and they love to achieve that. And so many people would say, you know what, we're not even sure this is going to work. How is this going to work? So it really did take some time. There were a couple of lessons that I'd take away from that, Yitzhak. One is around clarity of purpose. So we really emphasized the purpose and the mission that we have as a business, and that it was really less important specifically how we did that or where we did that, where the classroom was, but the fact that we did that and that we had to meet our customers and support them where they were. So part of that, there was clarity of purpose. There was extensive communication by myself and by the leadership team and by our leaders around the world, just around what we were doing. And we also really highlighted those people and those teams that were successful. There is, in any kind of an adoption curve, you've got early adopters, mid, late,
right,
et cetera.
Right.
And even today, there are people who still would say, hey, we're just waiting for things to go back to normal. Look, we all want to go back to physical, in-person, and that type of thing. And at the same time, part of the mindset and the question has to be, where's the opportunity? Where's the opportunity in this change? In what ways? If we kept saying, if this is an unprecedented crisis, then it also has to create unprecedented opportunity, right? For every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction. So if this is a crisis, where is the opportunity? And so from a leadership standpoint, part of what I recognized and recognize now especially is just the critical importance of the leader and of leadership to have a vision, to articulate that vision, to listen to other people and to work together in the implementation of that vision. But it is to have that clarity of purpose. And again, as Dale Carnegie people, fortunately, that was very natural. So many of our people were resilient, agile. We teach those types of things. So I'm so proud of just the way people led, the way people responded. And I think there are a lot of lessons that I'm going to take with me for the rest of my life, learning from those great Dale Carnegie teams.
This is such an honor for me. I love speaking with you. My guest is Joe Hart, President and CEO of Dale Carnegie here on 710 WR and the iHeart Radio Network. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting sign up to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
Came across a great commercial real estate opportunity and need money fast? At TBG Funding, we understand the challenge. Waiting months for a bank-issued loan can cost you your project. That's where we come in. Call TBG Funding today at 718-705-9300 to get the funding you need to get your project off the ground. That's 718-705-9300. With loans closed in 23 states and over $800 million in closed loans, TBG Funding can help you close any commercial real estate deal in as little as 3 days so that you can close deals quickly and efficiently. Visit tbgfunding.com to find out how we can help you capitalize on your next opportunity. That's tbgfunding.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yusuf Saftis right here on 710 WOR and throughout America on the iHeartRadio Network. It is a treat once again to catch up with the CEO of Dale Carnegie, Joe Hart. Just a little perspective here. I mean, for those living under a rock, Dale Carnegie has operations in 90 countries around the world, and they service 400 of the Fortune 500 companies out there. That speaks for itself. If you're not impressed, then you could turn off the radio. I don't know what else to say. Yeah. Joe, question. Let's talk about the workplace of the future. I mean, thank God it's already kind of the present, but as life is returning to normal, how do you envision the workplace, you know, the changes, the companies that need to adapt in order to kind of bring life back to the way it was 2-3 years ago?
Well, the first thing is that the workplace of the future clearly will be different than the workplace of the past. And part of the reason is that we've had paradigm shifts about how we work. And I'll just say myself, I've had paradigm shifts about how we work. If you'd asked me in January of 2020 about the potential of our team working remotely for over a year, effectively as we were before, I it wouldn't have made any sense. But that's what I'm saying. So I think not just me, all of us have had paradigm shifts about how we work, where we work, when we work, all these different kinds of things. And those are going to carry themselves forward. I envision a future where the workplace is more flexible. I know that some people have kind of talked about, you know, we need to get back, everyone back to the workplace 100%. I know there are some executives who feel strongly about that. I know at least one I've read has called this an aberration that they want to correct as soon as possible. And that's a point of view, and they could be right. What I believe is that the future workplace of workers are going to demand more flexibility than we've had in the past because we've experienced this. People who are commuting into the city 5 days a week are going to be reluctant, I think, to commute back into the city 5 days a week, and especially when they can see that they've been able to work effectively. Having said that, there are things that we've lost in not being together in person. Some of those are just that in-person interaction, some of the culture, the experience of being with someone, of seeing full body, of seeing how people gesture and nonverbal communication and those kinds of things, of being able to walk into someone in the hallway or in the kitchen. And so, those are really important ties that we have to one another. So, you know, the workplace of the future will be more flexible. I expect it's going to be a hybrid to some degree, where people will be able to work some days in, some days out. That's certainly how I'm expecting it to be for our organization. I don't see personally saying to people, you have to come back into the office 5 days a week when they've been working as effectively remotely. I also think that part of this involves greater trust, and it's going to change the talent pool. Because even when companies look to hire, if they know that they can hire people who are in different locations, who are very talented and they can engage their teams effectively, that's going to be potentially a game changer in terms of how we recruit. And particularly in tight labor markets, that's going to be an important thing to be able to find the talent that we need where they are, as long as they can help move the organization, as long as we can help tie them into the culture and be part of the purpose of the business. I think it's a very exciting future.
That's a great point, because if a company, let's say Manhattan-based, and they would always be looking for talent within 10-mile radius, 20-mile radius, whatever, they might say, hey, I could look for talent in Denver and Florida because, you know, it will be a hybrid workplace and some people will be logging in and working by Zoom, whatever.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I do want to say, though, I'm very bullish on the city. I mean, the city is going to continue to come back and is going to rebound, and people should be excited about that. Certainly, I'm excited about that. And this is not a change, I think, that people should be afraid of. I think it's a change that we should welcome. So, but yes, there will be opportunities to hire people from different places. And there's no place on the planet like New York City, and people are still going to want to be there.
At its core, Dale Carnegie is all about training. And so many companies, I think there was one stat that certainly middle-sized, small businesses, I think only around 10%, you feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, have a good training program in place. They just don't get it. They're like, you know, an employee comes, sit them down by a computer, okay, spend 10 minutes, show them where the on switch is, and set up an email address, and all right, get to work. Perhaps we could even talk about the foundation. Why is training so critical for a success, and why should it not be viewed as a waste of time?
So there are extensive studies, I won't go into them, that talk about the impact of training certainly on the performance of people. But let's just talk for a second on what people often call the soft skill training, some of the things that go to how we interact with each other, how we manage stress, how we develop our confidence and so forth, how we communicate, and do we communicate effectively? And we can take someone who's been extensively trained, say it's an engineer, it's an accountant, some people can have very strong computer programmer, technical skills, but if those people are immobilized, especially right now, think about what we've gone through over the last year. If people are afraid, if people are worried, if they're burdened by the stress and anxiety or whatever else it is, those things will hamper their performance. I don't think anyone would argue with that. So the degree to which we can give people skills that help them deal with stress and worry, communication, building relationships, and so forth. And we've seen this time and time again at Dale Carnegie for over 100 years, which is that these are the things that can be the enabler. These are the things that can unlock the greatness in our organization. We talk about why are teams high performing? Why are some teams high performing? Why are some teams not? You know, we could leave some of that to chance and just hope that we hire the best people and they can come together and work effectively through good leadership. And we could also increase the likelihood that that's going to happen by investing in our people, letting them know that they're important, investing in their skill set, helping them be able to work more effectively together with one another, holding people accountable for results and bringing out their best. I mean, those are the kinds of things that we do through our training programs.
Holding on to training for a moment, my understanding is Dale Carnegie has many different types of training and some that are more suited for leaders and managers and some for the workforce directly. Perhaps you could just expound on some of the different programs you offer.
So a couple things, and thank you for the question. One thing that we were doing long before the pandemic is teaching virtual teams, how to work together effectively. There's a whole world. It is different. Selling in a virtual environment is different. Presenting in a virtual environment is different. Engaging with their team members in a virtual environment is different. So a lot of what we have offered, even pre-pandemic, and now we've accelerated this, are how do we help teams work effectively in this new reality? So we will work with companies that have a range of needs for their people, whether it's in person or it's online, whether it's how to present high impact presentations, whether it's the Dale Carnegie course, which is the world renowned course. Again, you look at something like Warren Buffett, you can Google Warren Buffett, Dale Carnegie, right. Watch the video of him saying, this is the course that changed my life. My life would have been different without this program.
Yeah.
Sales, leadership programs. We've got a whole range of programs that are really designed to help people and teams be their best and work effectively, both in person, live online, and as well as hybrid now too. We've rolled a new program called Dale Carnegie Learn From Anywhere, which is something where someone could be taking a program where someone's in person, someone's online. It just really depends upon what is best for the customer.
You touched on it a few times, and that is the hybrid work environment. Perhaps we could talk about maybe some tips of that you would suggest for a company that is working. Let's say they have, let's say, a small operation. They have 25 employees, and 15 are in person and 20 are remote, or a large operation, whatever the percentage of the breakdown is. Perhaps you can give some tips on how your suggestions for a perfect type of balance in that environment.
So the first thing I would say, and maybe this is obvious, is that companies need to have a strategy. Simply saying, hey, this is what we're going to do, without really thinking through the nuances of that and how people are going to work together and interact with each other, how meetings are going to be held, how information is going to be shared. Simply saying, this is what we're going to do, without thinking through and having an intentional strategy, is a mistake. And I would also say that one of the things I'd encourage every leader to be thinking about is empathy and understanding. And what I mean is, let's recognize what we as people have all gone through. Many of us have lost people that we love. Many of us have been with our kids in virtual environments or dealing with the stress. Many people have dealt with emotional, mental health related challenges. So there is a prior leadership mindset which would have said, look, hey, just deal with it. This is your problem. You got a job to do. Suck it up. You know, and that kind of an approach, I don't think, is going to be very effective. Rather, for a leader, and we know this through our engagement, we've done extensive research on engagement, and leaders who are able to engage their teams more effectively, who are demonstrating a level of understanding and empathy, it doesn't mean we're not going to hold people accountable. We have to hold people accountable for results. And at the same time, there's a great quote, which is, I don't care what you know until I know that you care, right? And we want to work with people who appreciate us, who respect us, who listen to us, who value us. And so as we think about this return to the workplace, taking those things into consideration, for example, someone might say, you know what, I'm just not comfortable coming back into the workplace yet. I'm with someone who's still at risk, or I've got my kids at home. I think having some level of flexibility in terms of how we work with people as we manage this kind of return to a different kind of a work relationship, if you will, is really important. So having a strategy, demonstrating empathy, having some flexibility, and being clear about what we're doing and why we're doing it, and the results that we need to achieve as a business, and holding ourselves accountable. Those are some of the things I'd say.
I love the way you framed it in the previous segment. Clarity of purpose. Clarity of purpose. My guest is Joe Hart, president and CEO of Dale Carnegie. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting SIGN UP to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products.
PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
Ever wished, as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events, that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Isaac Saftless right here on 710 WOR. And yes, a special thank you to the great listenership of the show. We are back in the top 10 in New York AM radio. And a reminder, this show will go up on our popular YouTube channel. If you want to be notified automatically when it goes up, just subscribe. Subscribe on YouTube. The channel is 710 WOR Mind Your Business on YouTube. Again, 710 WOR Mind Your Business on YouTube. And if you subscribe, you will automatically be notified when this interview with Joe Hart, the CEO of Dale Carnegie, will go live. Mr. Hart, in one of the previous segments, you talked about something that is fascinating. It's something that I was able to connect with in a second because I was fortunate to take the Dale Carnegie immersion course. And that is, I mean, that course was so interactive. You know, we were acting, we were doing things that frankly, we made sure that no one was videoing. You know, not that it was anything, off color. Everything is fine, but just, acting in a way. And when I had to sell my, was it Mop and Glow or whatever it is, I don't want that going up on YouTube. But the excitement and the way I saw people coming out of their skin and opening up was because it was like using all the limbs of the body. They were engaged. So my question is, I hope I'm not putting you on the spot. How was it that you were able to segue to a virtual environment? I how'd you do it?
It's actually been a pretty incredible learning for us as well. And one of the biggest challenges we faced in the beginning of this was that our programs are so interactive. They require enthusiasm and energy and all these different things. One of the first things we had was the handshake exercise.
Right.
A lot of different things that we have in our programs. And we said to ourselves, how can we do that? Certainly there's some things we could do online. Surely we can never do a Dale Carnegie course online. And then we developed the Effective Communications and Human Relations course, ECHR, which essentially is the Dale Carnegie course in a live online environment. And we developed this with our best trainers, our best instructional design people. And over a period of time of testing it, so we tested it and developed, we were shocked and pleasantly surprised at the results. Believe it or not, Yitzhak, the net promoter scores, the voice of customer scores that we get for the live online version of the Dale Carnegie course are as high as what they are in person, which is industry leading. I mean, very, very, very high. And that's part of the thing we realized as well. I think we had a mindset about what online was. The reality is there's certain things you can do online that you can't do in the classroom, whether it's using whiteboards or going into breakout rooms or doing different kinds of things. And none of this is recorded. So, I mean, it's all done in a confidential way and right. so forth. So people feel safe. We create safe environments where people really can be themselves. And that's really been an aha for our trainers and our teams around the world. I think it was one of the things when they saw how effective our programs could be online, they started to change their mindset about it as well.
By the way, if I could ask, just because, again, when I took the course, the instructor was so unbelievable. How long are the trainers in training? How do they get so good? What's the backstory to that?
So thank you for the question. One of the areas that we really pride ourselves is on our training methodology. It's unlike there are other companies where you can become a trainer in a weekend program. You know, you go and it's a certain type of thing. It can take months or in some cases years for people to become Dale Carnegie certified. And it's something, I don't know if you know this or not, but I actually went through the certification process myself in 2019 yeah. to become a certified Dale Carnegie trainer. I can tell you firsthand, it is grueling. It is challenging. It's gut-wrenching. There were times I was just scared myself of getting ready to do this. It was really hard.
I thought you got pull. I thought you had pull that? There. They didn't cut you some slack.
They were
brutal on you. They were brutal on you. I'm like, hey, wait a second, you know?
Part of the deal. I said to them, look, I want to go through this like everybody else. No favors. And if you have to fail me, you fail me. And some people don't pass the training. But what we did was we also took, we were building on people who were certified Dale Carnegie trainers to become live online trainers. And then we also had a fairly extensive process that people had to go through. First of all, you've got to go through the training process. Then you've got to go through actually co-facilitating some programs before you become fully certified. So, and then we have quality checks and the whole range of things that we do on an ongoing basis to make sure that our quality is the highest in the industry.
Now, tap into your worldwide knowledge base and experience. Recently, or actually a couple of months now, you have a podcast going. Perhaps, what are some of the themes that CEOs are talking about, or maybe perhaps, you know, what are the things that are keeping them up at night?
Yeah, so the podcast is called Take Command, okay. A Dale Carnegie podcast, and I interview leaders and have had the honor to interview some amazing leaders like you do on your show, Utah.
Thank you.
I've had Alan Mulally, who's the former CEO of Boeing and Ford, and recently Alex Gorsky, the CEO of Johnson & Johnson, had him right the week that the J&J vaccine was being rolled out. Carlo Cubia, who's with the chief diversity officer for Walgreens. I think if there's a common theme that people have, it really has been, and a lot of what we talk about is real leadership involves how we engage with our people and really putting people first. You can have people who are successful. You can have very successful leaders from a financial standpoint or a result standpoint. And the question is whether or not they're the kind of people that you'd really be, you know, excited to talk about, because sometimes people can be very harsh. I remember having a conversation. I was in India and I was giving a speech and I was talking about Alan Mulally, the CEO of Boeing, who is, I think, one of the greatest leaders of our time. And Alan came to Ford at a time the company was on its way out of business potentially. He turned the whole thing around and he did that in a real people-focused kind of way. But the question was, you know, well, not everyone is that way. Not everyone is a Dale Carnegie kind of a leader, a people first leader. You know, can't you lead in a different way that gets great results, but maybe you're just really, you know, hard on people. And my point was, if you can bring the best out of people, we live one life. This is our life. This is it right now. I mean, for us to be the best human beings we can be, to bring the best out in other people, if we can achieve the same kind of results as someone who's, you know, just insulting and berating and belittling, if you can achieve the same kind of results or better than those people, why wouldn't you try to bring the best out of people? Why wouldn't you want to be the kind of leader that's an inspirational, transformative kind of a leader? And that's really what we teach at Dale Carnegie. And that's also what I think a lot of these CEOs in the podcast will talk about. These executives will talk about the culture and building the culture. And how do we continue to build a culture? So if it's through COVID, And it's difficult to onboard people or people are afraid. But that's the kind of thing I think that really some of the best leaders that I've interviewed have talked about is making sure that they're continuing to focus on a people first culture.
Joe, you touched on this, but if I may, I've always dreamt of asking you really this question. And that is, let's face it, a CEO is in the hot seat, right? And there's a board out there, especially if it's a public company, that's on their back looking at numbers. It's all about ROI. And yet at the same time, they have to be empathetic. They got to be a mensch, as it's called. What's your advice on kind of the perfect balance that, you know, they have to be answerable from a fiduciary responsibility, and yet at the same time, being that great leader that people look up to and will do anything for?
Well, the first thing is there can be a misconception about what the word empathy means. Empathy can be viewed as a soft word, as a, I'm going to listen to someone go on and cry, or I'm going to accept excuses or whatever. I mean, people have the wrong idea of what empathy is. You know, part of what we teach at Dale Carnegie is the importance of respect. So how I'm going to engage someone in a conversation is appreciation, recognizing someone for the good work that they're doing, listening to them, valuing them. Those things are part of when I talk about empathy, that's what I mean. And you can do those things and still hold people accountable. We have to hold ourselves accountable. In our organization at Dale Carnegie, we have a very extensive metric-driven process we follow. It's the discipline review process. And, you know, so we've got very clear metrics. The question is, when someone misses a metric, you know, what's the reason for that? And do we need to, can we help each other achieve the metric? Can we work together as a team to do that? And if someone's not performing over some period of time, then that has to be addressed as well. And at the same time, that can be addressed in a respectful way to the person. That doesn't have to belittle the person. So empathy and results can coexist. We have to have accountability. The question really is, how do we want to treat someone?
My guest is Joe Hart, the president and CEO of Dale Carnegie. We're going to be back with the final segment of tonight's show right after this commercial break. Stay tuned.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings to finish a project. Oh, when do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting SIGNUP to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
Hi, Shep Hyken, your customer service and experience expert, and I'm excited to tell you about my new book, I'll Be Back, How to Get Customers to Come Back Again and Again. Now, this book is packed with idea after idea on how to, just as the title implies, get your customers to come back. In the book, you'll learn that repeat customers aren't always loyal customers. Now, both are great, but there's a big difference. You'll also learn about 10 reasons a customer may stop doing business with you and 3 reasons you would stop doing business with them. And one of my favorite lessons is a 6-step process for creating an I'll be back strategy. Of course, there's much, much more. The book ships out in September, but purchase it today and you'll get instant access to the ebook at no extra charge. Just go to www.illbebackbook.com. Again, that's www.illbebackbook.com.
We'll be right back.
And we're back. Mind your business with the Yitzhak Seftlis right here on 710 WOR and across America on the iHeartRadio network. My guest, my very special guest, is Joe Hart, president and CEO of Dale Carnegie. Joe, thank you very, very much for carving out of your crazy hectic schedule. Oh, I said at the beginning of the show, I'm going to ask you, how do you sleep at night? You deal with countries around the globe. Can I ask you that? How do you sleep at night?
I'm grateful to have an amazing team of people. If it were just me, I'd worry. Thankfully, I've got a great team, and I think that definitely. And I also think too. Look, one of the challenges that this last year has shown is that there's a lot that we could worry about. There's a lot that we could think about. There's a lot that could keep us up at night. And I really do think I've relied myself on the principles that we teach as Dale Carnegie. We have a set of stress and worry principles. Dale Carnegie wrote a famous book. Everyone's heard of How to Win Friends and Influence People. Many people have not heard of How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, which is a phenomenal book. And that whole book really is about, it's about mindset. It's about joy. It's about living your life in a more fulfilled way and not being stressed and getting and sleeping well at night. And frankly, I rely on a lot of the principles in that book constantly, just as we have challenges, just like every other company's got challenges.
I would be remiss if I interviewed you and didn't talk about a all important concept in business, and that is communication. Whether it's from a manager to a team, whether it's in inter-office communication, and especially the fact that now, people are returning to the workforce, people are working in the office, and yet there are people working remotely. Perhaps you could talk about the importance and some tips on being a great communicator.
Sure. Well, the first thing is a quote that I love. I think it's from George Bernard Shaw, which is to the effect of, this is not verbatim, that the illusion of communication is that it has occurred. Often we think we have communicated. We think, well, I said this, therefore I've communicated it. And the reality is communication is a lot more than simply saying something. It is how we say it. It's the frequency that we say it. It's the method we say it or the modality that we say it. And frankly, the whole other part of that, which is every bit as important, if not more so, is listening and understanding, right? So Dale Carnegie talked extensively about who's the audience. What does the audience care about? What do they want to hear? What do they need to hear? So if it's you and I talking, or if it's me talking to the company, I'm constantly trying to think about, all right, so what's important to the people that I'm speaking with? And how do I make sure that I'm communicating in a way that will be effective? And how do I validate that? I mean, maybe it's at the end, asking questions, you do a survey, different kinds of things. And one of the things I've found is that, and people say, gosh, Dale Carnegie, this is you teach communication and so forth. There are things that I think are communicated well and people still don't understand them. So sometimes, you have to say something multiple times. What we don't know, sometimes people are thinking about different things. You know, we're talking together and someone might be thinking about their child. They may be thinking about a parent. They may be thinking about something else. So we need to understand where people are. We need to have clear messages that we're communicating frequently. And we need to have to be listening and really understanding what people are taking away and what is it that they need to hear.
Thank God the general premise of the conversation is that we are, please God, post-pandemic, and companies are looking to recruit and let's face it, companies are rebuilding, and some of them are actually, there's a big challenge. They aren't rebuilding fast enough to meet demand because demand is just suddenly, wow. You walk through the airports these days, they're packed. A couple of questions just as far as attracting top talent. What are your tips for landing a superstar on a team? I know it's a very general question, but Joe, I know I could ask you.
You can ask anything, Yitzhak. It's always good to be with you.
Thank you.
I'd say a couple things, and again, some of these are obvious. One is that when it comes to talent, it's a seller's market right now, in the sense that I think there's a lot of demand for people. There's a lot of demand for good people. We've gone through a period of time where maybe people had said, like, I'm going to hold on to my job for dear life. And now many people are saying, I'm going to look around and see what else is out there. So from an employer standpoint, it's really important to be different and to differentiate ourselves. And I think one of the things, particularly we think about younger millennial workers, one of the things that's always been important to millennial workers is purpose. So what is the purpose? What is the value that I will create? What is the mission in this business beyond, you know, just making a widget or whatnot? Am I, can I have an impact? And so I think it's important for employers, for leaders to talk about the importance of the business, the why of the business, the why what we're doing is this business matters and how you're going to be an important part of that. It's important to talk about the culture and where, what kind of culture the company has and why it would be an attractive culture for someone to come to. What's in it for them? And of course, I mean, there's always the financial and those kinds of things. I actually happen to think that one of the things that particularly for millennial workers will be more valuable even than money, and we've certainly seen surveys and done some research on this, is flexibility is something that is a really critical factor. So some people, we've already heard some people saying, look, if I have to go back in 5 days a week, I'm going to go find a new job. There are a number of studies that are saying that. Now, I mean, that isn't for everybody, but for many, being a workplace of choice may involve including some flexibility for people. So there's a range of things that I think are important for companies to do.
Corporate culture, you touched on it. Perhaps we could just hold on to it for another minute because it's such an important aspect, really for any type of company, whether it's a Fortune 500 company that has 50,000, 100,000 employees on their team, or it's a small business with five employees in the shop. What are some tips on building a safe environment, a great place where people really love showing up to work?
So I actually have a talk that I give where we have four specific strategies. I'm not going to go in each of those strategies, but four different things that go into that. I'll talk about a couple things. You know, one of the, and you touched on this as well, for companies to be successful, particularly moving forward, particularly given all of the volatility and uncertainty and complexity and ambiguity in the world and so forth, it's really important for companies to be agile. To be agile, a company has to have people who are resilient, and to have resilience, you've got to have positive mindset. You've also got to have a safe workplace, psychological safety. You know, so building a culture from a leadership standpoint involves being clear about what the values are and modeling those values. And those values have to be built around respecting people. And what is the role that people play? So, I mean, if you look back over the past year or we look ahead over the year to come, you know, how are we framing things? And are we framing things in terms of, are we positive? Are we optimistic? Are we, when people make a mistake, how do we address that? I mean, is it the kind of thing where people are willing to take a risk? In a psychologically safe workplace culture, people are willing to take a risk. They know that if they can learn from something and they can, you know, improve and so forth, that's not going to be held against them. There are other kinds of cultures where, and I'll give you an example. I was in Japan not long before the pandemic, and I was talking to an executive CEO of a very large company, and he said, you know, the biggest challenge I have is getting my brilliant people to feel comfortable speaking up, because they're afraid if they say something and they're wrong, it could really impact their career. On the other hand, if you look at companies, and Google did an extensive study on psychological safety, it's a project called Workplace or Project Aristotle, where they found that in environments where people feel comfortable, where it's not going to be held against them if they make a mistake and so forth, that's one of the traits of a high-performing culture. In fact, it's the single most important trait. So there are things that leaders can do to model that, but things that they can do to discuss it and ultimately to put into practice.
Joe, as we wrap up and the time flies, your initials, JH for Joe Hart, is a nice little feature that we've implemented since we moved over to 710 WOR. We asked the guests to share an impactful tip, either on J or H or both. The floor is yours.
So on the H, I would say heart, not H-A-R-T, but H-E-A-R-T.
Nice.
And that is that when I think about some of the best leaders that I've interviewed in my podcast, I think about Alan Mulally and what he did at Ford. And I asked Alan, I said, Alan, what is your view of leadership? And he talked about humility, love, and service as the traits of a great leader. When I think about Alex Gorsky at Johnson & Johnson, and he talked about how they innovated to bring a vaccine to market in less than a year, you talked about the people and leading first and valuing those people. And that's been true of so many other leaders. I think from a leadership standpoint, for us to value our people, to have a heart for the people, to have a heart for service, to have a heart for the situations and the challenges, and have a heart for results ultimately, and saying, look, we're all going to be better off as a company once we're successful and we achieve these results. That would be the advice I would give.
What an amazing show. Joe Hart, President and CEO of Dale Carnegie. This wraps up a great edition of Mind Your Business. Don't forget to access all the free business interviews from past shows on our YouTube channel. You can subscribe today on YouTube 710 WOR Mind Your Business. And tune in again next Sunday night at 10 p.m. for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 710 WOR. Have a successful week.
710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network present Mind Your Business, hosted by the president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Founded in 1992, Bottom Line Marketing Group is a strategic, creative, and execution-driven marketing agency, helping businesses by clarifying and promoting their vision, mission, and purpose to support its lead generation and customer retention initiatives to gain market share in their industry. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. for this intriguing radio show as Yitzhak interviews Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, and marketing gurus from a wide variety of business industries. Now, Yitzhak and his guests offer their knowledge and expertise to help you be successful every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings, to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting SIGNUP to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
Hi, Shep Hyken, your customer service and experience expert, and I'm excited to tell you about my new book, I'll Be Back, How to Get Customers to Come Back Again and Again. Now, this book is packed with idea after idea on how to, just as the title implies, get your customers to come back. In the book, you'll learn that repeat customers aren't always loyal customers. Now, both are great, but there's a big difference. You'll also learn about 10 reasons a customer may stop doing business with you and 3 reasons you would stop doing business with them. And one of my favorite lessons is a 6-step process for creating an I'll be back strategy. Of course, there's much, much more. The book ships out in September, but purchase it today and you'll get instant access to the ebook at no extra charge. Just go to www.illbebackbook.com. Again, that's www.illbebackbook.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.